Hey everybody, welcome back to Reason and Theology. I want to talk about an article that I just came across where Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich is suggesting that the church's teaching on women's ordination to the priesthood is subject to change. I want to examine his comments. I then want to compare it to what the church has taught infallibly in the matter. And then I want to ask a very provocative question, but one that is explicitly necessary in light of Cardinal Ratzinger and Bertone's commentary on the profession of faith. And that question is something that Cardinal Hollerich really needs to ask himself, and that is he still in full communion with the Catholic Church in light of this false teaching that he has expressed? So let's go ahead and examine it. Here we see Helm suggest that women's ordination in the Catholic Church, women's ordination specifically to the priesthood, is still a possibility. A very bad move on his part for multiple reasons, not only because it would significantly impact his communion with the Catholic Church, but also he looks absolutely absurd right now, given that Pope Francis just today released his 60-minute interview, interview with 60 Minutes. It was about 13 minutes long. But interview with 60 Minutes, where he explicitly says that the church can't change its teaching on this, so he looks really, really bad right now. Not only that, but even suggesting that Pope Francis is open to it literally on the same day when Pope Francis said no. So anyways, in a new interview, Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, SJ, suggested that the church's position on female priests is not set in stone and should be discussed further, at the same time warning of triggering a huge backlash. Speaking to the official Swiss Catholic portal Cath on May 17th, Hollerich, who is the Archbishop of Luxembourg, said the prohibition against ordaining women was not an infallible doctrinal decision and could be changed over time with arguments. The way I see it, most bishops are in favor of a greater role for women in the church, the Jesuit cardinal said. I'm in favor of women feeling fully equal in the church, and we will also work towards this. I don't know if that necessarily has to include ordination to the priesthood. You can't tie everything, he says, to the priesthood alone. That would be clericalization. But let's stop right there. Listen to what Pope Francis says on, again, at the very same time while Hollerich is saying this. Pope Francis says this, and let me enable audio to make sure that you can hear it.
Dogmática cuadrada.
Pope Francis has placed more women in positions of power than any of his predecessors, but he told us he opposes allowing women to be ordained as priests or deacons. Francis's devotion to traditional doctrine led one Vatican reporter to note that he's changed the tune of the church, but the lyrics essentially remain the same.
It's a good way to put it. And this isn't the first time he has been clear on this point. So Cardinal Hollerich is looking really, really bad right now, offering these comments right around the time that Pope Francis has said the exact opposite. But perhaps more importantly, I have a sincere question. How does somebody get ordained a priest or even a bishop and then made a cardinal when they don't know basic Catholic theology and basic Catholic teachings? You may not like what the Catholic Church teaches, but it's not hard to find out what it teaches. And it's not hard to find out if it teaches on this particular issue definitively. And anybody who is a priest, let alone consecrated a bishop, let alone made a cardinal, should know basic Catholic theology. I have to honestly ask the question, how do these guys get ordained? How do they get themselves in the positions that they're in? I sincerely have to ask this question. This is from Ordinatio Sacerdotalis from John Paul II. And please tell me if John Paul could have been any more clear than this. Like, honestly, ask yourself the question, could he have said this any more clearly? Although the teaching that priestly ordination is to be reserved to men alone has been preserved by the constant and universal tradition of the church and firmly taught by the magisterium in its more recent documents, at the present time, in some places, it is nonetheless considered still open to debate, or the church's judgment that women are not to be admitted to ordination is considered to have a merely disciplinary force. Wherefore, this is the part that Cardinal Hollerich needs to pay attention. Wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed, this is addressing people like Hollerich. Let's see, this was written in 1994. We're in 2024, if my math is correct. This is 30 years ago. So the Cardinals had about 30 years to review this document. Wherefore, in order that all doubt may be removed regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the church's divine constitution itself, in other words, this isn't some side issue, this pertains to the constitution of the church, so you can't afford to be wrong on this kind of stuff. In virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren, I declare... Listen to the language here, because it meets all three marks of ex cathedra teaching. But even if it doesn't, which I think it does, but even if it doesn't, the point is it's still definitive nonetheless because of the constant and ordinary teaching of the universal church. I declare that the church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the church's faithful. That would include cardinals. So when Hollerich says, it's not an infallible doctrinal decision, I have to ask him, what do you think the term definitive means? Do you think definitively held means errant? Does the church definitively bind people to err? No. If it is a definitive teaching, it is infallible in nature because the church can't definitively bind people to err. So, how does he even argue this and suggest this after 1994? But it gets even worse, way worse for Cardinal Hollerich, because again, the commentary on the profession of faith, the very profession of faith, mind you, that he should be holding to as a cardinal. Let me read that profession of faith to you once more. I know we go through it nearly once a week, but let's do it again for those who may not be familiar and are new to the channel. Second concluding paragraph, I also firmly accept and hold each and everything definitively proposed by the church regarding teaching on faith and morals. Okay, so that is what you find right here. Definitively held, to be definitively held, corresponds to a level two teaching right here. And any Catholic who wishes to be in good standing with the Catholic Church has to be able to accept and hold to these things definitively. They accept and hold them because they have been definitively proposed by the church. And by the way, it's not just my opinion. Let's consult Ratzinger and Bertone in their commentary on these concluding paragraphs on the profession of faith. Ratzinger, again, known as to most people, Pope Benedict XVI, A similar process can be observed in the more recent teaching regarding the doctrine that priestly ordination is reserved only to men. By the way, notice he's speaking in connection to truths of the second paragraph, these right here, that one must firmly accept and hold, since they are definitive in nature. He's saying an example of this is the reservation or reservation of priestly ordination to men alone. That belongs to category two. The Supreme Pontiff, while not wishing to proceed to a dogmatic definition, and that's true, he did not make it dogmatic. It is a secondary object of infallibility, but secondary objects of infallibility are still infallible. So when he says it's not infallible, I understand. Maybe somebody who's new to the Catholic faith will not get that, but a cardinal? What? No, he should know this. Sorry, he either knows it and rejects it or doesn't know it. And either way, I don't understand how the guy's a cardinal. The Supreme Pontiff, while not wishing to proceed to a dogmatic definition, intended to reaffirm that this doctrine is to be held definitively. Since founded on the written word of God, constantly preserved and applied in the tradition of the church, it has been set forth infallibly by the ordinary and universal magisterium. So you remember when I said, if it's definitive, it's also infallible in nature. Ratzinger and Bertone are telling you the same thing. That's not my opinion. That's just a fact. And the reason why is the church can't definitively bind people to error. Otherwise, it would defect in its teaching authority. Ergo, definitive teachings, even if they are of a category two, secondary object of infallibility, are still infallible. As the prior example illustrates, this does not foreclose the possibility that in the future, the consciousness of the church might progress to the point where the teaching could be defined as a doctrine to be believed as divinely revealed. In other words, dogmatic. So it could be bumped up to a dogma. It can't be bumped down because it's already been definitively declared to be definitive, I should say. So it can be bumped down, but it can be bumped up to a dogma. But either way, dogma or definitive Catholic doctrine, it's infallible either way. So he is 100% false when he says, not an infallible doctrinal decision that could be changed with time over arguments. No, but it gets worse. It gets worse. Here's the real kicker. Here's what Ratzinger says in the same document in reference to these secondary objects of infallibility. He addresses, you know, what would happen if you have like a Catholic who denies one of these teachings? You know, if you deny a dogma, a level one teaching, you're a heretic, right? To deny dogma is heresy. Okay, well, what happens if you deny a level two doctrine, definitive Catholic doctrine? Are you in heresy? No. But watch this. Such doctrines can be defined solemnly by the Roman Pontiff when he speaks ex cathedra, or by the College of Bishops gathered in council, or they could be taught infallibly by the ordinary and universal church, magisterium of the church, which at the very least, JP2 says it has taught it by the ordinary and universal magisterium, as to be held definitively. To be held definitively. And that's the language that John Paul II used in Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, to be held definitively. Now, here's the kicker, though. Every believer, therefore, is required to give firm and definitive assent to these truths based on faith in the Holy Spirit's assistance to the church's magisterium and on the Catholic doctrine of the infallibility of the magisterium in these matters. Once again, he's telling you this is infallible. Now, here you go. Here's for Cardinal Hilaric, in the odd chance he ever watches this or catches wind of it. Here's the words for you directly from Ratzinger and Bertone. I hope you take them to heart. Whoever denies these truths would be in a position of rejecting a truth of Catholic doctrine and therefore no longer in full communion with the Catholic Church. That's not my opinion. That's Ratzinger, the man who wrote the book on the provision of faith. That's Ratzinger and Bertone. no longer in full communion with the Catholic Church. You may not like it, but that's the truth. You may be upset that I say it, but that's the truth. You may say, Michael, who are you? You're just a layman, but that is the truth. And so Cardinal Olerick really needs to wrestle with this. Is this a hill he really wants to die on? If so, he might really want to ask himself, is he still in full communion with the Catholic Church? Now, that's in the interior. Obviously, we're not talking about some kind of declaration on part of the church. We're talking about the interior bonds of unity. He might want to ask, is he still in full communion interiorly with the Catholic Church by denying one of these definitive Catholic doctrines? So even if he's not a heretic, he might not be in full communion with the Catholic Church and might need to go ahead and go to confession and publicly apologize for this. But honestly, I have to ask, how do people like this end up cardinals? And thank you so much for the super chat, Matthew. Olerick should be removed. Yes, him and many others. But yes, he should. This is a mistake that, as a cardinal, no cardinal should make. This is a mistake so ridiculous and so basic that it puts a spotlight on you as you didn't belong in this position to begin with. It's time for you to go. Now, that's not for me. I'm not the Pope. I don't get to make that decision. It's up to the Pope to make those decisions. But if I had seen this and I were a Pope, I'd remove the guy immediately. Then again, I wouldn't have made him a cardinal to begin with. I think it was Benedict who made him cardinal. I don't know how that happened. Let me double check. I think it was Benedict. We had some pretty bad appointments with Benedict and JP too. No, in this case, it was Francis. Yeah, this one's on Pope Francis. I was confusing him with another one that Benedict did. Yeah, this one is Pope Francis. I don't know how this happens. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Then again, I don't understand why a lot of the people who are bishops are bishops. Then again, I also don't understand why a lot of people who are priests are priests. But it is what it is. You know, I look at the Old Covenant and I see all throughout the history of God's people. All throughout all the covenants, but especially in the Mosaic covenant, you have all sorts of people who are priests, but clearly didn't belong in the priesthood. You have all sorts of people who are kings who clearly didn't belong being a king and a ruler. So, you know, God allows people to be there who really shouldn't be there. You look at 2,000 years of church history and it's full of it. There's all sorts of people where it's just clear this person shouldn't have been in ministry. But hey, you know, God in his providence allows it. That doesn't give excuse to those who allow it to continue. But, you know, God in his providence allows it and he is in control. But I think that we can still point it out and say, yeah, this is ridiculous. Because what this does is it not only undermines the Holy Father, it more importantly undermines the Catholic Church in its teachings. This one's so clear-cut. This isn't some esoteric doctrine. This isn't some Category 3 teaching. This isn't some merely disciplinary issue. It's a definitive doctrine. You know, cardinals should never be making these kinds of mistakes. Then again, was it a mistake or was it intentional? Does he know better? I don't know. Don't know. But I will grab some chat questions, though. I wanted to briefly cover this with y'all. Go ahead and put them in the chat to at Reason and Theology, and I'll grab them. Good to see you, Great Wall. Not being in full communion with Catholic Church means they can't take the Eucharist. Well, they just need to go to confession, and that'll be fixed. I can't judge his interior. I can't judge his disposition here, but the cardinal needs to ask the question, is he rejecting this doctrine? It sure seems like it is, but He will really need to ask himself, is he denying or rejecting this doctrine? And if so, you know, maybe he needs to go to confession, because you can't remain in communion, in full communion with the Catholic Church, and deny Category 2 teaching. Now, if this is just based on ignorance or something like that, yes, you could still be in full communion, because one is merely ignorant whenever they do this, so they're not actually rejecting the teaching. They don't realize it's a teaching they're to accept to begin with. But that might even raise a deeper question, and that is, how in the world do you get made cardinal and you don't know the basics of Catholic doctrine? But again, I'll leave it to him and his conscience to wrestle with. But maybe for the rest of us out there, you know, this is a good teaching moment, because if it's him doing it, well, there's a whole lot of other people doing this as well. The tares are mixed with the wheat, and it will be so until the end, of course. But there are also other passages that do encourage church discipline, so we need to be balanced. Okay. Hey, Michael, I'm a Catholic, wondering what to make of the Pope said of everybody being fundamentally good and the heart being good. Is the heart not deceiving? You've been reading the book of Jeremiah. What is it, Jeremiah 17:9? Are you a former Calvinist? Likely so. Likely so. Yes, Jeremiah 17:9 is what you're probably thinking of. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Obviously, Jeremiah is being rhetorical here. I think that both are true. We can say it's a both and. There's a sense in which we can say, as human beings, we're fundamentally good. There's also a sense when we speak of concupiscence and things like that, there's something that's desperately wicked there. So, kind of depends on what aspect we're referring to here when it comes to mankind. I think Jeremiah is more rhetorically highlighting concupiscence. Pope Francis is more rhetorically highlighting our capacity. Okay. Expectations on the second session of the Synod. Well, nothing really productive will come from it, in my opinion. Not because something productive can't come from it, but I doubt very seriously anything will. Having said that, however, there will be a whole bunch of people who will turn it into a situation that it's not, and will take it out of context and blow things out of proportion, and try to act like the sky's falling and the world is ending over it. And so the usual suspects will come out in full force declaring that the church is in apostasy and the synod is in heresy and all that. And they'll just continue to do what they do literally every single synod. And just as we've seen with every single synod, almost nothing gets done. So that's what I think will happen. But hey, I'd love to be wrong. Okay. I've been listening to another channel and found out it is SSPX. Should I stop listening? Well, it's certainly up to your discernment. I'd ask this question. Would you want to watch a Muslim channel? You know, well, I could see somebody wanting to do it for purposes of learning what other people who aren't Catholic say. And if your purpose is to understand what non-Catholics say while pretending to be Catholic, then maybe there's some, you know, productiveness to that. But just kind of be aware that that's what's going on. If you're not aware of that, you're going to be deceived and you'll think that this is Catholic when it's not. It's like, would you listen to an atheist? Would you listen to a Muslim? Would you listen to a Mormon? It depends on what the purpose and the context, you know. I certainly wouldn't go to them for catechesis or for spiritual formation or theological formation. If that's your purpose in watching them, I think you're going to be greatly deceived. The whole synod is a nothing burger. Yeah, the synod at the end of the day is just an advisory body, you know, for better or worse, that's all it is. So it really can't do anything. Okay. Well, let's see. David says, I bet Cardinal Hilaric just did not get the memo or is being illiterate. I don't know. I mean, no matter how it shakes down, it doesn't look good for him if it's out of ignorance. It's like being a medical doctor and not knowing, you know, just really, really the basics of human anatomy or something like that. It's like you're an ER doctor and you don't know what an esophagus is. What? How does this happen? You know, I'm not saying everybody has to know what an esophagus is, but if you're an ER doctor, I mean, come on now. You need to know. So if it's ignorance, that doesn't help. If it is doctrinal error and not ignorance, then that doesn't help. According to Ratzinger, he wouldn't be in full communion. That doesn't mean that he can't still hold office in the church. Obviously, we're talking about the internal forum when we speak of lacking full communion in this context. But that's not good for him. It would mean that there is something that he's doing to his soul that is putting his soul in jeopardy. Office-based message to the cardinal. What exactly is it that you do here? Well, I'll tell you this. It's because of cardinals like this that you find radical traditionalists. Because they see legitimate problems like this, but they end up overreacting and becoming even worse than Cardinal Hilaric will ever be. So they react against legitimate problems, legitimate concerns, and they have sometimes legitimate grievances. And it's this kind of stuff that makes your radical traditionalists. And, you know, it's a problem. The Pope will always have the final say despite what the bishops and priests say for the Synod. Yep, that's the purpose of the Synod. Mahoval, I have heard worse from doctors or professors. Well, Josh V says, I am not Catholic, and I wonder if I know Catholic teachings, then this cardinal. I'm not trying to be overly critical or anything. But the higher up you are in the church, the more you're expected to know and do. The higher standard you're held to. And this is, again, like finding out there's an ER doctor who doesn't know what an esophagus is or what bone marrow is. or worse, they know what an esophagus is, but they deny the existence of esophagi. I guess that's the plural of this. They just don't believe that esophagi exist. That would also make me question whether or not they should be an ER doctor. Are insertions in canon law magisterial? It depends on what we're talking about. Canon law sometimes expresses teachings of the church. At other times, it imposes disciplines, makes prudential judgments. All of it is promulgated by the magisterium. But yeah, it's going to vary in what aspect of the magisterium, depending on what we're talking about. Oh, great question, Faith Wisdom. How can we help our church leaders who are ignorant or teaching errors other than prayer? That's a great question. Of course, if you have access to a church leader, you could, you know, maybe very kindly pass along information to them that they may not be aware of and send it to them. To help them better form themselves in the faith. A little weird, right? That a layman has to help a bishop or a cardinal to be better formed in the faith. But okay, I guess that's where we're at. But yeah, maybe you could do that. That's a good question. What can be done? I don't suspect there's a whole lot we could do as laity. I think that ultimately God is in control. And we could certainly resign ourselves to the providence of God. But it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot that we could do. You also have to ask the question, do they even have a disposition to hear what you have to say in some cases? I mean, think about it. If you're a cardinal or a bishop, are you going to pay attention to what a layman tells you? Some might. Some might have that humility. Others, I don't know if they have that humility. And so they might just dismiss it outright because who are you to teach me? Our general audience is magisterial. I argue yes, and I am more than happy for you to prove me wrong. I think we just need to be charitable, point out the documents, and pray. You might be right. Maybe that is all we can do. I think that, however, as laity, those of us who have a platform, if we address this stuff, maybe that will put enough pressure on some of these bishops and cardinals out there to stop dissenting against church authority. You know, pressure against the magisterium is wrong, according to Donum Veritatis. But in this case, pressure is used to help them get in line with the magisterium, which you'll note, Donum Veritatis never forbids. Because, of course, it assumes that the clergy are in line with church authority and teachings. Francis needs to make no women's ordination officially infallible so that there's no debate. John Paul II already did that. It's nothing else that can be done. John Paul II already did it. Pope Francis can repeat that, but he kind of already has. But maybe he could officially repeat it. But how many times do we officially have to repeat something? You only have to do it once for it to be official and definitive. Only once. Is this as bad as Bishop Strickland being unable to read Fiducia Sub Cons? I don't know which is worse. I don't know which is worse. How does this happen? How did it? I honestly feel it's in some of these cases, it's as if they just grab random people, make them a priest 10 years later, make them a bishop 5 years later, Somebody gets them an inn and they become a cardinal. That's almost what it's like. Honestly, think that maybe we would have, maybe we'd have better chances if we just grabbed random people. I don't know. If you just like grabbed a random person off the street, ordained them a priest, give them like 10 years, and then consecrate them a bishop, would you get something better than what we're getting with some of these guys and some of these cardinals? Would it be better or would it be worse? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too cynical, but this is honestly the way it comes across. Well, I bring back call-in streams. I'm certainly willing to if there's enough interest. Absolutely. RNT, layman, we should pray the rosary. Nothing wrong with that. What's a good book to learn more about the magisterium? Well, maybe start with Dulles's book on the magisterium, Cardinal Avery Dulles. Do I believe unification with the East will ever come to be? Not before the second coming, no. The fragmentary nature of Eastern Orthodoxy is such that if you have reunion with some of them, others will descend from it, break off, and continue to fragment, and will continue to perpetuate the schism. It's exactly what has happened over and over and over throughout history. It's like Humpty Dumpty. I don't know if he can really be put back together again. Unless you can get every Eastern Orthodox clergyman on earth on board with reunion, it's just not going to happen. You would have to get every priest and every bishop on board with reunion. Otherwise, there'll be some group there that defects from their union and will start their own schismatic group or perpetuate their schismatic group. If he repeats, it could insinuate that the other declaration was void of infallibility. Nope, it's not the way it works. Nope, nope, nope. It would just reconfirm that it was definitive in nature. It would not void it. There's nothing that can, you can't void in any way or insinuate it at all. Like, you just can't. Once it's definitive, period. About women deacons' ordinations. Well, the document in question doesn't exclude that. The one Ordinatio Cesare Tala specifically, if that's what you're asking about. As far as Pope Francis, he says no to that. As recently as today. Buckley once said he would rather pick someone from a Boston phone book than someone from Harvard to be mayor. Josh says, I vote for Michael to be bishop. I don't think they have married bishops anymore. But we have had lay cardinals before, so maybe Pope Francis can make me a cardinal. Father Brown, good to see you. We need to petition AI Father Justin for bishop. He is pretty solid. I'm in agreement with that. Or you, Father Brown. I'm all in favor of you being a bishop. Why can't you be made a cardinal? If you're made a bishop and cardinal, we will all rejoice. If only. Instead, we get Cardinal Hilaric. What did Pope Francis say about women deacons today? He said nay. Oddly enough, the Eastern Orthodox have said yay, at least with the Alexandrian Patriarchate. It's kind of odd, right? While the Catholic Church is saying no to women's ordination, the Eastern Orthodox Church is starting to open up to it. Unlaicize Father Justin AI. He's a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's right. That's right. You can't laicize him. He'll always be a priest. You know, it's always funny. I always hear people say, you know, stuff like, you know, Father Altman, you know, he can't be laicized. Or Pavone, he can't be laicized. He's priest forever. I just want to say, so according to your reasoning, Cardinal McCarrick can't be laicized either. Just making sure that you're aware of that. Let me sip my coffee here. You don't say Cardinal McCarrick is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Yes, we all know there is a sacramental character there that cannot be removed. That's not what laicization is. They don't get it. They don't get it. Help them. This is funny. Many Orthodox I talk to say it's not their church, so they don't care. Yeah. Except they don't use that argument against 99% of Catholics when they object to something going on with one bishop that isn't their bishop, right? Whatever Catholic they're talking to, and they bring up, hey, this other bishop, this other cardinal said that, and it's not even their bishop or cardinal. Oh, so it's only a one-way street. But more importantly, you guys are in communion with that church, though. So you still have to deal with that one way or another. So, yeah, I'm not buying it. They say, I don't care. It's not in my church. But you're in communion with that church. So you should care. It does matter. It does impact you. So, yeah, I don't buy that comeback. Have I finished a cup of coffee today? I don't think I've finished one. I've had some cups of coffee, but I don't think I've finished any of them today. I don't believe I have. What happens is I drink the coffee. Evidently, I take so long in drinking it that it gets cold. So I never really get around to finishing it because by the time I would, it would already be cold, and I don't like cold coffee. How do you deflect criticism from the Coptics? Well, I guess I'd first of all start out by pointing that their own Council of Ephesus teaches papal primacy, and maybe start there. How can they uphold Orthodox communion in churches when they don't even agree on whether to permit female deacons or not? Mm-hmm. Or how can they criticize the Catholic Church when they can't get basic stuff correct, like how to receive converts into the Orthodox churches? RNT, you need a Yeti. It keeps my coffee warm all day. I don't know what this is, but I do think I have a Yeti somewhere. Looking through the chat. It just proves that they're not really one church, as they say in the creed. Well, I do agree that the Orthodox are not the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of the creed. That is definitive for Catholics. That is Catholic dogma. We are the church that Jesus Christ established, and it fully subsists in this Catholic Church alone, not in the Eastern Orthodox churches. They may possess some of the faith, and they may possess, you know, the sacraments in our local churches, but they are not the one universal church. No. Great Wall says, I have a bigger size Yeti. I have a smaller one that doesn't work as well, which is weird. Someone's got a Photoshop Michael holding a skull instead of that cup. That would be an interesting meme. I could see that. What am I doing? Am I, what's that Latin phrase? Remember your death? what I like, Saint Jerome with the skull and all those paintings of his. So he's remembering his death. Memento mori. Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just have a meme of me looking at a skull like this, and it'll say memento mori. There's a burglar king. I thought you were typing Burger King. There's a burglar king that drank from the skull of the Byzantine emperor. Yikes. Well, fun fact. One of the reasons why the Vikings would say, I think it's skon is what they would say, is because they're saying skull, and they would drink from the skulls of the people they killed. Not my cup of tea. I'd rather drink from a Yeti. But that's me. Like he's going to do Shakespeare. Yeah. Yeah. Just somebody could Photoshop that, right? We can make that happen. Somebody sent this to me. Maybe I'll cover it in more detail tomorrow, but might as well bring it up real quick. I'll probably cover this in more detail tomorrow, but I got a good laugh out of it. You ready for a really good laugh? We need it. We need it. All right. I kid you not. This is real. This isn't one of those. What was his name? Eli Copter. This isn't one of those. This is actually real. A real article. Breitbart. The infinite wisdom of the contributors at Breitbart tell us Pope Francis backtracks on blessings for same-sex couples. Make it stop. Make it stop. So, Pope Francis says, not X. They then report, Pope Francis said X. And Pope Francis comes back. He's like, yeah, no, guys, just to clarify, I said not X. And then, crickets, silence. Pope Francis comes back again and clarifies, not X. Crickets, silence. Pope Francis comes back again and says, hey, just to clarify, since I'm being asked again, not X is what I said all along. And Breitbart comes back and says, see, he changed his position from X to not X. It's like, no. He said not X all along. You just started out saying X because you misunderstood. And instead of saying, oh, we misunderstood, you just think that, oh, no, he's just backtracking. How can you reason with such people? Pope Francis backtracks on blessings for same-sex couples. Pope Francis has added to the confusion regarding the blessing on same-sex couples, now insisting that only the individuals may be blessed and not the couple. You can't make this up. You're right, Jen. You're right. You're expecting consistency and decent understanding. How naive of you, Michael. You are so right. I am naive. I am naive. I really am. Because I would have expected that, you know, people would have said, hey, we got it wrong from day one. Sorry, guys. It's so interesting watching their cognitive dissonance, seeing how they handle it. Like Bishop Strickland just can't figure it out, so he just continues to, you know, post paragraph 31 because he doesn't understand how what Pope Francis is saying is consistent with paragraph 31. He thinks they're just mutually exclusive. Whereas these guys, Pope Francis is just adding to the confusion. Meanwhile, that's literally what they are doing. They're quite literally the ones who are adding to the confusion. Instead of just saying, oh, we got it wrong. And the Pope splainers were right all along. Huh. Imagine that. That's weird. Maybe I'll review the whole thing tomorrow. But I had to sneak that in. Right, Wall says they won't admit they're wrong with lack of humility. Breitbart, not so bright. Didn't you say they would do this exact thing a long time ago? I think I probably did say something to that effect. I say a lot of things, so. But that does sound right. That does sound familiar. Maybe see if you can find the timestamp and video where I said that, and we can show what they said and play the clip of where I said that. I end up doing so many videos that I just don't remember specifically every one of them at this point. How many do I even have at this point? Let's see. Does he even tell me? It's over 3,000. I don't know how many for sure. Why did Francis make him a cardinal? Don't know. Wasn't there to see what the decision process was, what information was and was not available. Don't know if I would have done any better at the time. I know what I'd do now, but that's me. And I'm certainly not the Pope, nor will I ever be. How's Justin doing? I don't know. I haven't checked up on him since that whole fiasco. Ponte says, Fiducia sub cons, the church does not have the power to impart blessing on unions of persons of the same sex. Breitbart. Pope Francis totally said the opposite and is now backtracking. Yeah. It's good comedy. It's real good comedy. Because it's like Breitbart is writing satire for us, but they don't realize they're writing satire. But they are satire. LY, I don't think the article's even worth reviewing. I don't know. If they don't understand it, they should have AI analyze it. Yeah, at least they get it right. AI will get it right. It's weird how they don't, though. Let's see. I was disappointed by the 60-minute interview. It seems like a lot of the interview was cut off. It was only like 13 minutes. So where's the rest? I thought 60 minutes was supposed to be 60 minutes. Am I misunderstanding? I don't watch 60 Minutes, mind you, so I don't have anything to compare this to. So I don't have like any other episodes to compare to, but I do feel like something that's called 60 minutes should at least be 60 minutes long. So, yeah, what's up with that? Did Pope Francis say a whole bunch of things they didn't like? Probably. Well, the Pope didn't confirm us in any of our conspiracy theories, so we're just going to truncate this to 13 minutes. Shell says, used to be 60 minutes, but inflation. That checks out. That makes sense. You know, 60 minutes doesn't go as long as it used to back in the day. Truth Brigade says, yeah, they had other stories because this one turned out to not be juicy. What's up with that, though? Seriously. Did they offer an explanation or anything? Or is the rest coming out at some point? Or do you have to maybe get, like, their patron-only content to see the whole thing? I don't know. I wrote a paper on critiquing Protestantism. I said Protestantism can only be true if universalism is true. Is that a good argument? I don't know how you would argue that necessarily. I'd have to see the argument for that, but I don't see anything that would necessarily indicate Protestantism is only true if universalism is true. I don't see how you've connected those dots. Not saying that you haven't connected the dots, but I don't see how you've connected the dots. Then again, I could very well be deficient in my understanding here. So, there are people who are doing the confusion, so it is necessary for Michael to do this. Ah, yes. Yes, it is necessary to address this stuff. I don't intend to reach and don't expect to reach the people who are causing the confusion. No. But I do hope to reach people who still have an open mind and are still trying to make sense of all this. That's who I hope to reach. Yeah. If universalism is true, then it doesn't matter which religion you pick. Well, I could see that, yeah. Calvinism is very close to universalism, just a change of view. I don't see how. I would probably say Calvinism would be like almost the exact opposite, but I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it. Josh says, I can email it to you. Go for it. Cool. All right. Well, tomorrow we have a show on the Shroud of Turin that we're going to be doing. So y'all stay tuned for that. That will be at 1 p.m. Central. I may review the article that I just briefly spoke about moments ago. Or we'll do something else, or all the above. We'll see. But yeah, I wanted to get this one in there. Wasn't anticipating on doing this show, but I came across that and I thought, wow, this is pretty bad. Let me at least read the rest to you, because there was one other part that I wanted to point out in that article. Let's see. Let me pull it up. Hold on 1 second. All right, let me share my screen, finish this up. On Hilaric, when asked whether he thought Pope Francis would introduce female priests, Hilaric replied, "It's very difficult to say. The Pope is sometimes good for surprises." On the same day, the Pope Francis says no. Oh, you guys seem so desperate to get your erroneous doctrines in there. You just cannot deal with the facts. Okay, the Archbishop of Luxembourg added, but I would actually say no. Shortly before the Synod, there was a dubia from a few cardinals. They asked whether John Paul II's rejection of the priesthood of women was binding for the church. Francis replied very wisely, "It is binding, but not forever." And he also said that theology would have to discuss this further. That's not what he said. That's not what he said in the dubia. I read that dubia. I reviewed that dubia. I reviewed that question in the dubia. That's not what he said. He didn't say, "It's binding, but not forever." Yeah, no. Nice try, though. Oh. The cardinal, who has previously courted controversy on doctrinal matters, emphasized the need for ongoing discussion. "It means that it is not an infallible doctrinal decision. It can be changed. It needs arguments and time," Hilaric said. Meanwhile, Ratzinger and Bertone have explicitly said it's infallible. John Paul II has explicitly said it's infallible. At the same time, the Jesuit cautioned against pushing too hard for changes, noting that if you push too much, you won't achieve much. You have to be cautious. Take one step at a time, and then you might be able to go very far. Yeah. You know, if you're going to introduce radical rupture into the church and corrupt its doctrinal teachings that are definitive, you can't do it too quick. Just got to push, you know, slowly. Just step at a time, you know. I suspect he doesn't understand how this works. The interview was conducted by Jacqueline Straub, who works for the official portal of the church in Switzerland, and publicly describes herself as called to be a Roman Catholic priest. Yeah. Called by who? Satan? I didn't say that. Her assertion to Hilaric that women were forced to take a back seat in the church was based on a typically European principle of the individual, the cardinal responded. Even if that's true, it doesn't logically follow that definitive teachings of the church can change. Citing the example of blessing homosexual couples after Fiducia Supercons, Hilaric warned of a potentially huge backlash if the Vatican were to introduce the ordination of women to the priesthood. "You're doing such a great service to the church, Cardinal Hilaric. Keep it up. You're gonna crank out those rad treads by the hour. Keep this up. We have to have these discussions with the whole church. Otherwise, we'll have a huge problem later. Then the Catholic Church will fall apart." We do have to have these discussions because evidently we have people in the church who are cardinals who don't know what they're talking about. And then it talks about Ordinatio Sacerdotalis and reach to you what I read to you. Okay. Well. And my beloved bride has texted something to me. Catholic monk comes out as transgender. Quote, "Deal with us." Who's this, Newsweek? We'll have to do a show on that one. What was the name of that monk that it was a female and she lived like most of her monastic life in a male monastery, pretending to be a male, at least according to the story. I don't know how historically accurate it is. I forget the name. Deal with us is the quote. Well, yeah, I think you might get dealt with, but it might not be in the way that you would want. You might be released from your vows and excommunicated. That's one way of dealing with the situation, but you can see the moment Michael's soul dies a little as he digests the information. The trans hermit got rejected by the Jesuits, just saying, is that right? I need to do a show on this. I saw somebody in the chat mention it, and then my wife texted it to me, so I'll have to check it out. Are there any books on how the sacraments were defined or chosen? You know, it seems like Feingold wrote a pretty long tome on the sacraments. And I interviewed him on that book at some point. But yeah, type in Lawrence Feingold sacraments and should come up. Maybe start there. Is this live for real? This is live for real. It sure is. For better or worse. The pros of doing things live is I don't have to spend time editing anything. The cons would be interruptions. And also you get to see my unfiltered thoughts. Don't know if that's a pro or a con. It might be both, depending on what I say. Olaric is 66 years old, only 9 more years to retirement. Oh, yeah. Bless it. Bless it. Ramsey says, for real, no cap. I don't know what it's in reference to, but I appreciate that comment. I like having a longer debrief session here at the end. Helps to decompress. And it's therapeutic, right? It's therapeutic. I agree with you. RNT Live is always fun. Yeah. Maybe I need to bring back the live calls. Those are pretty interesting, too. Those are fun. I keep looking around me because there was some kind of Louisiana bug that jumped on me. It came from outside and then it flew in on me. And I feel it all over, even though it's not on me. I killed it, but I still like feel it crawling all over me. So I'm like really paranoid about it, even though it's dead. And so I'm still looking around. Teresa says, yes, on the live calls. I think we could do that. Thoughts on infant communion? Well, as an Eastern Catholic, I'm all in favor of it. All in favor. Always have been. Even when I joined the Catholic Church through the Latin Rite, I was always in favor of infant communion. I hope that the Latin Rite goes back to infant communion. Saint Marina. I forget the name of the saint, but it may have been a Saint Marina. The spirit of Louisiana bug. Yeah, it's haunting me. I have to make sure it's wiped off the table, but it's Oh no, it's just the ghost of it is still haunting me. Like I can feel it. How often do Louisianians get attacked by skunk apes and dino gators? I don't know what either one of those are. I know what a skunk is and I know what a gator is, but I'm not aware of. What kind of chimera animal is this? Like, demon bug, Ponty? It feels like it. When do you reckon the push will come for women lay cardinals? I don't know. It's conceivable. Because a cardinal can be a layman. They obviously wouldn't be eligible to be elected pope. But they would be able to elect a pope. Kind of reminds me of back in the day when the Bishop of Rome would have just been chosen by, you know, or a bishop would have been chosen by the lay community, which would have obviously included women. Do I think it's going to happen in my lifetime? I don't think so. Could it conceivably happen? Yeah. Would it be the end of the world? No. No, it won't. But people will pretend that it is. Skunk apes are essentially Sasquatch swamp style. I don't think that clears it up for me. I'm sorry. That raised more questions than anything. Because I don't know what Sasquatch swamp style is. So the predication there didn't work for me. St. Marina was a female hidden as a monk that was accused of raping a woman. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking. She was shunned by her fellow monks her whole life because of it. Then when she died, they found out it was, in fact, a woman. It was a woman. Could be true. Then again, with some of this hagiography, it could be entirely made up. There's some stories out there that just... How are we going to actually, you know, determine this is authentic? Maybe there is a way. I don't know. I've never really looked a whole lot into it. Cajun Bigfoot. Yep. Yep. Skunk ape is Bigfoot's Florida cousin. Is that right? Huh. Let me Google this now. I'm curious. Skunk ape. So this is really a thing. Y'all weren't joking. Y'all were being serious. Monster of the mind. What did... Let me share my screen. What did I stub on, y'all? What in the world? That's it. That's Skunk Ape. Yet another mystery to look into. I thought y'all were just making stuff up. Like, evidently, this is a thing. Loup garou is the thing to look out for in Louisiana. What is that? Loup garou. A werewolf? In Louisiana? I just found out that we had bats in Louisiana. Now we have wolves too. What? We need Jimmy to investigate skunk ape rumors. Yes. Yes, we do. Flatwood Woods Monster. I don't know this one. the Michigan Dogmen. Where do y'all, is there like a website that y'all go to that where you get like a whole catalog of these things? How do y'all know all this stuff? And I don't know any of it. I often feel like I live under a rock. Everybody knows all this other stuff, and I'm completely oblivious to it all. I don't know how that happened. From women's ordination to mystical creatures, only on RNT Live. Yeah. Yeah. Ohio Frogman. Yeah, no, I wasn't aware. Now, I've heard of the Jersey Devil. Jen says, I know based off of television and weird YouTubers. That will do it. Great Wall says, I live more like in a library. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I do feel like that. Under a rock within a library. Or in a library under a rock. Jackalope. Man, I don't know any of this. South Carolina has lizard man sightings. Wow. What's another cryptoid we can confuse him with? X-Files, y'all. Yeah, this is definitely an X-Files stream. I thought we were supposed to have had that in the other show that we had earlier today. Where were all these cryptoid comments in that show? The one where I went over the Las Vegas UFO. We should have had that then. A Fiji mermaid. Wow. Is that really a thing? Louisiana also should have Honey Island Swamp Monster. Did the UFO kid respond? I have not received a response. I have not. Unfortunately. The Fiji mermaid was a made-up one, so that wasn't a real thing? I would have believed you. I would have thought that was a real thing. You said it's too obvious. Not to me. I would have thought that was a real cryptoid theory in or near the territory of Fiji. I heard New Orleans gets zombies from voodoo or something. Maybe Father Brown can tell us more about that. Fiji mermaid is a verified hoax. So it is a thing, though. Okay. I wasn't clear on that point. A Bigfoot was supposedly terrorizing an Alaskan town years ago. Josh says, I shared my document with you. Okay, cool. I'll check it out. Appreciate it. Thank you. Giant thunderbirds in Alaska. Father Brown says, meth zombies, baby. Or what's that other drug that people are zombieing out over? What's it called? Fentanyl or something? Yeah. There's also, of course, the classic Loch Ness Monster. Isn't there the La Chupacabra as well? I think that's a thing as well. Fentanyl. Yeah. Don't forget the Bunyip. Don't know this stuff. I definitely don't know what this is. I know y'all are speaking English, but I don't know what y'all are referring to in most of these comments. Jimmy did an episode on zombies. Is that right? I need to check that one out. Wendigo. I don't know. Is that like one of those camper trucks? Or is that a Winnebago? I don't know what that is. The Squanch is my personal favorite. Where do y'all come up with this stuff? Man. Y'all know all this stuff and I know nothing about it. Like, It's like I stepped into a whole new world. Just rewatched Michael's video exposing Benny Hinn. Which one is that? The research for that video must have been outrageous. I can't even imagine how much time it took. Which one is this? I don't remember this video. I don't know which video this is. Benny Hinn exposed. Well, I see a 2-minute video that I did on that. Surely that's not the one you're referring to. Is the Benny Hinn thing with Mike Winger? Yes. Yes. That was a decent video that he did, and I suspect that he did not do most of the research for that video, which is why it was good. Because if he did, it would have been absolute garbage, like all of his videos on Roman Catholicism. But I can at least say his video on Benny Hinn was good. But again, I suspect it's because someone else did the research for him. Or at least most of the legwork. Not only do I suspect it, he seems to indicate that throughout the video. Bishop Loch Ness. Well, that's an interesting question. Could the Loch Ness monster be sacramentally ordained a bishop, consecrated a bishop? Don't think so. Quite certain. It would need to be a human male. I suppose the Loch Ness monster is a male, but I think it needs to be a human male. Reminds me of those questions. Can you baptize an alien? All sorts of interesting answers when that question is raised. Jorge says the truth is out there. Indeed it is. But are we ready for it? Do we want the truth? Jindo says, I think she's usually a female. Is that right? The Loch Ness Monster is a female? I mean, I didn't know that made up creatures would actually be male or female, but let's see. Is Loch Ness Monster male? I always assumed, but that's what you get for assuming. You're right. The Loch Ness Monster, also known as Nessie, has always been referred to as a female in Scottish folklore. I'm thinking of that scene from Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't know it really was called Nessie until now. I thought they just made that up in the Napoleon movie. That's really a thing. Wasn't he doing some presentation on freeing Nessie? The thing with Napoleon Dynamite is, this was back when you rented movies and had to actually pay for renting movies or whatever. I rented the movie when it first came out. I think I spent like, I don't know, $5 to rent it or whatever. I don't remember if it was at Redbox or Blockbuster. Probably Redbox. But anyways, I feel like I spent $4 or $5 renting it. I watched the movie. I did not get it. It was so weird and boring to me. And I was mad by the time it was over because I felt like I had wasted not only my time, but also $4 to $5, like more insult to injury, you know? I think that's the phrase. I'm always poor with phrases. Yeah, added insult to injury because I wasted $4 to $5 in addition to my time that I'll never get back. So I totally didn't get it. I was upset. Like, why would anybody even make this movie? This is so stupid. Why does anybody even like this movie? And I kid you not, it was like a month later, I just started randomly thinking about the movie and I started busting out laughing. And I just busted out laughing and I finally got it. Like something clicked. I just wasn't getting it at the time, but something clicked. And I just started dying laughing. And I said, okay, I need to rewatch it with like these new eyes, with this new revelation that I have. And I rewatched it and it was hilarious. I just didn't get it the first time. I just don't know why. Maybe they caught me on a bad day. I was expecting something else. I don't know, but I just, I did not get it. But I finally did. So which movie was that? Napoleon Dynamite. Kip is my favorite character. He's the one who was training to be a cage fighter. Yes. And then he ends up marrying LaFonda. It's pretty epic. And then he has a pretty cool song at the end during his marriage ceremony about technology. You need to see it if you haven't seen it. But you have to have the right disposition. If you approach it with the wrong disposition, you're just not going to get it. It's not going to be funny. Now I need to go back and watch Napoleon Dynamite. All right. That's it. I'm tabbing up. I'll be back 1 p.m. Central tomorrow for that video on the Shroud of Turin. And I'll do another one prior to that. Probably touching on a few things. We'll see. See how the day goes. Okay, let's see here. All right, yeah, that's going to do it. We'll see y'all later.
Hey, friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com.